Hi there, folks. Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. I'm Tony and I'm coming to you from New Zealand. With me today from the US, regular guest on the show, Alex Newman. So welcome back, Alex.
It's an honor to be here. Thanks for having me, Tony.
And it's always good to talk to you. It's always action-packed, your interviews. So much information and in a short space of time. So where are we going today?
Well, Tony, one of the big things that's been on my radar, I just did a big article last week about the depopulation cult, just came out with a new scientific study. And this is science, by the way. You have to trust the science. If you ask questions about the science, you're a bad person, as we all know from the last few years. Can't question science. And they have determined scientifically, of course, that the population of the planet is way too large, that we need to cut it roughly in half. They think 4 billion might be a good number, maybe a little bit on the high side, but they think 4 billion might be acceptable. We got to do it quickly. So within the next 150, 175 years, we've got to get those numbers down. And even among the survivors, even among the 4 billion who are allowed to remain on this planet, the study authors are very clear that they're going to have a much lower standard of living. They can't just be consuming all these goods and services. They've got to have a lot less freedom. And of course, we need a global authority to help distribute resources, help manage ecosystems. And obviously, all this is for our own good, Tony. And by the way, this wasn't published in some fringe internet blog. This was published in a very prestigious UN-affiliated journal on sustainability that is dedicated to, right in its mission statement, to the fulfillment of the UN's 2030 agenda goals, what they call the sustainable development goals or the master plan for humanity. So this is serious. You know, they've been talking like this for decades, Tony. I've heard them. I've interviewed them at the UN summits all over the world. But the fact that they're now putting this garbage into pseudoscientific journals and claiming that science demands a mass depopulation program should, I think, concern us as Christians greatly.
And of course, they'll be the first to volunteer to be culled, won't they? And
naturally.
And if any of their family or descendants happens to survive, of course, they'll all take the low standard of living too, won't they? You know.
Yeah. Of course they will, Tony. You know how this is. No, I actually ran into I run into these depopulation people all over the place. I've got them on camera saying some of the most absurd things. But I ran into Ted Turner, the founder of CNN, the Communist News Network, down in Rio, and asked him about the depopulation agenda because he's one of the very active promoters. He was actually involved, I'm told, in setting up the those big stones, the Georgia Guidestones they put in Georgia that say right at the top, we need to reduce the population to 500 million people and set up world courts. And I asked him about his population agenda, the fact that he had five children. And I think I said something like, you've called for the population to be reduced by 80%. And he kind of snarled at me. He was like, I said 90%. So, okay, sorry. But this is kind of a cause célèbre among the elitists. They don't normally speak as openly about it as they do in this journal, but they're very clear. And I want people to know that this is not a new agenda, right? You go back to 1977, the guy that Barack Obama appointed as his science czar, a guy by the name of John Holdren. Now, to be fair, he was concerned about a different problem back then. He was worried about global cooling. Apparently, humans and human emissions of CO2 were going to cause the planet to freeze. And the solution to that was less freedom, less people, more government, more power at the international level. But he says in this ludicrous book, anybody can go get it. It's called Eco-Science. He wrote it with Paul Ehrlich, another neo-Malthusian crackpot. And they said that we need to add sterilizing agents to the water supply so that you can't have babies without permission from your overlords. They proposed forced abortions. And they actually claimed, as ridiculous as this sounds, they claimed we could sustain forced abortions under the existing U.S. Constitution, which obviously is nonsense. They called for, in their terms, a planetary regime with an armed force that would be in charge of overseeing and managing the planet's resources, presumably including the human resources. So we need to understand that these people are dangerous. You know, God said very clearly, man is made in the image of God. People are image bearers of God, what they used to call imago Dei. We are made in the image of God. And so when you talk about reducing the number of image bearers, that's problematic right on its own. Then you go to like literally the first command God ever gave human beings. He said to be fruitful and multiply repeatedly. He says children are a blessing from the Lord. They're your heritage. And so it's only natural that we would expect diabolical forces at odds with God to come after the population and argue that there's too many of us and that the global authorities ought to be reducing our numbers.
And this is the scary thing, is you do not know what they do covertly in terms of putting things already in water supplies and in food and in the air and so on. And then, of course, the things they jab in people's arms to do the depopulation agenda. And we don't really know currently what the population of the world really is, because I don't think they're being honest about the numbers that have been possibly decreasing in many places rather than increasing as a result of all this stuff.
Yeah, there's so much to say about that, Tony. And I'll start off by saying we are headed toward a demographic catastrophe around the world. And the first people getting a taste of this are the Japanese, the Chinese, and the South Koreans. I mean, you look in South Korea, it's astounding. They're so far below replacement level that their society is going to be collapsing within a few generations here if they don't take urgent action. And it may be too late for them. Same thing in Japan. They're closing one or two schools every year. They're shutting down playgrounds everywhere. Little old ladies don't have any children or grandchildren, so they're getting themselves arrested so that they can be thrown in prison so somebody will feed them and bathe them so that they have some company. By the way, before you get too cocky, Western peoples, Germans, New Zealanders, Americans, you're right behind them, okay? We're not quite as bad, but we are following directly in their footsteps. You look at the entire Western world, we're literally right behind them. Every nation in the world, in the Western world, particularly with a handful of exceptions, mostly in sub-Saharan Africa, is already below replacement level. You need to have 2.1 children per woman just to keep your population flat, right? Just to keep all those houses occupied. And none of our countries, New Zealand, America, none of our countries have anywhere close to that. The only reason we aren't already seeing the collapse in population numbers is because we've got the borders wide open of so many Western countries. And so they're bringing them all in from the Middle East, North Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, things like that, India, Pakistan. And there will be more of that. But we are headed toward a demographic catastrophe. And so the idea of talking about more depopulation, you know, brainwashing girls not to want babies, indoctrinating people against family, using more birth control and abortion and all these things to decrease the population size is utterly insane, especially at this point in our history. But you said something really important that I want to touch on briefly also, Tony, and I'll do my best not to get us flagged by any ALGO rhythms, Al Gore rhythms, as I call them. But Dr. Fauci. We all know Dr. Fauci.
Yeah.
He has now been officially exposed. Thank you to U.S. Senator Rand Paul and U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, who released this man's text messages. He knew, and we know that he knew, that these things that they were promoting is not the right word, forcing on the population were going to result in enormous numbers of unborn babies dying. They knew this. We know they knew this because we've got their text messages. The data suggests something like 80% of the pregnant mothers in the first trimester who took one of these things lost their unborn child. Dr. Fauci knew this was going on. So did the head of the FDA and the head of the CDC. They all knew what was going on. And yet the very next day after texting these things, this guy's on national television telling pregnant people that they all need to go and get their product that we're not allowed to talk about. So this is, in my opinion, one of the most horrific examples of the activities of the depopulation cult. But it goes right along with what we've heard many of them say publicly, right? Who could forget Bill Gates of hell openly standing up at a TED talk and say, we have too much carbon emissions, you know, CO2 is here. So he puts this complex formula up there, you know, carbon intensity, population numbers. And he says, we got to get one of these numbers to zero. He says, you know, population, if we do a really good job with VACCI things that I can't mention, and reproductive health care, by which he means abortion and sterilization and contraception, maybe we can reduce that by 10 or 15%. So you look all across the Western world, you see sperm counts in men dropping through the floor. You see women unable to conceive anymore. This is not an accident, folks. This is not an accident. They are bound and determined to reduce our numbers. And I think eventually Satan would be just as happy to see our numbers reduced to zero with all of those souls taken down to the lake of fire with him. So this is really a spiritual battle more than a battle of population numbers, right?
And by the way, that wasn't the only time that Bill Gates said similar things either. It's the most publicized one, but I came across several other times where he said similar type of things. I remember I published that in a video two or three years ago. And you're right. I mean, these people are pushing all of this, and then we can't talk about it without being flagged or something to some level. And I see even in New Zealand they're saying this is the worst winter for people dying of the flu and so on in a decade or something like that. And I'm thinking, I wonder how many of those people that are dying from the flu are dying because they had in their injected, you know? So
plus 20-40 boosters. Yeah.
Exactly. So it is pretty sinister, the whole thing. And then the euthanasia side of it is another thing that's going on.
Yep. Oh, it's massive, Tony. If you look at our neighbors to the north in Canada, it's horrific. Being killed by your own government is now one of the leading causes of death in Canada. It's appalling. You know, people are going in there with like depression. We're seeing kids being euthanized now in the Netherlands, in Spain. We're seeing young people, vaccine injury, whatever. And like, hey, how about we just kill you? Wait, what? You know, I came here looking for medical help and you're offering to kill me? And then they guilt trip you into this, right? And this is going to get worse. Oh, you don't want to be a burden on society. You don't want to be a burden on your family, and your quality of life is going to be so crummy anyway. You know, it'd be so much better if we just killed you. And plus, it'll be painless. And, you know, and these poor people, they don't want to be a burden on society. They don't want to be a burden on their family. And so they go along with it. So you add that to the abortion zealotry, right? I'm sure you've been following what's been happening in the United States, Tony. We just had the state of Massachusetts sign into law a bill that allows you to kill your baby up until the moment of birth, like literally 30 seconds before that child comes out of the womb, even if he's late, right? You could be like 42 weeks pregnant. The baby could easily be living outside of the womb. I could have lived outside of the womb for months. You can murder that baby. You can literally suck his brain out, chop off his arms and legs, and rip him out piece by piece. This is so monstrous, Tony. And I think someday, if the Lord tarries, people will look back at this and they'll look at us as peoples, as societies, and say, wow, those were some demented, barbarian, savage. Like, kind of like we look back on the Nazis, we look back on some of the barbarous peoples of times past. We say, how could they have done that? You know, the slave trade, like, how could they have been so wicked? People will look back on us, if the Lord tarries, and say, what a bunch of savages. They were executing unborn children by the millions. They were killing off their old people by the millions. And they were doing everything possible to reduce the number of people on the planet. And our government has been involved in this. The U.S. government and the UN have been the leading promoters of this population control zealotry for generations. Henry Kissinger, famously, when he was National Security Advisor, did National Security Memorandum 200, where he claimed, and this is back in the 70s, that it was in the national security interest of the United States to reduce the population of the third world. He proposed using food as a weapon to try to get these third world governments to force their populations down. So we're dealing here, I think, with evil. And folks, we need to be paying attention to this. This isn't like a problem for the future. It's not a problem for our children and grandchildren to deal with. It's happening as we speak.
So two things come to my mind. I think back to the 1930s and you had, or around thereabouts, and you had the Nazis under Hitler, you know, exterminating people. And then you had Stalin and the Soviet Union doing the same thing. You know, anyone that disagreed, you were basically either killed off or sent to some sort of camp somewhere. And we look at those people as monsters. And yet, you know, today, is it any better? It's just more sanitized. And then you couple that, though, with the pushes into AI and the building of robots, you know, and Elon Musk and so on with his big push for his Optimus robots and things. And then they won't need people. Because you have those robot Olympics or whatever they are in China, and you see them robots, you know, busting speed sprinting records and different things. And I mean, it wouldn't take very much longer, and these robots will be capable of doing pretty much anything that a human is doing. So they don't need us, but they do need robots.
And that's one of the things that we're hearing from the depopulation cult, because people who are looking at what's happening are saying, wait a minute, guys, like, who's going to take care of the elderly? Like, who's going to keep the economy running? Like, how are we going to innovate if we reduce the population by 50%? Oh, don't worry. We've got AI, Optimus robots. We don't need any of that stuff. You know, we can get by just fine with 500 million people. And first of all, I want to remind people, artificial intelligence is by definition artificial. It's not actual intelligence, it's artificial intelligence. And second of all, AI and these robots can never be indwelled by the Holy Spirit, right? They are not human beings made in the image of God who can be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And we need to always keep that in mind. Robots are not a substitute for people, right? Robots are not made in the image of God. They're made in the image of man. And so if you are counting on Elon Musk's robots to give you sponge baths, that's when you get older, you need to really rethink your strategy, because it's not going to be effective.
No. And to be honest, the way things are progressing so rapidly, I just can't see it being that long till Jesus returns. You know, they can talk about depopulation over 100 years or whatever, but I don't see us, the way it's going, I can't see us going that far and that long.
It does seem like his return is imminent. I mean, it's just, I hope so. You know, I want everybody to have the opportunity to come to know the Lord, but man, it's getting crazy where they're openly saying things like this and killing old people and babies like it's nothing. It's terrifying. So come, Lord Jesus, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So can we look then at maybe the food supply shortages and how that in energy, water, food, how that's all bottlenecking to, I think, major catastrophe in the not too distant future with famine and so on. You know, I just saw something the other day about a large meat processing plant in Texas, you know, which they shut down in a day. They never even notified the people that it was going to be months or weeks or whatever. They just shut it down. Same day, bang, that's it, over. Farmers then don't have anywhere within 160 miles to take their meat. And of course, there's all the people that work there were out of a job. And but the company that, which escapes me the name of it, but it's a huge processing outfit, food processing company that makes massive of profits. This just one plant wasn't very profitable, so they shut it down. That's ostensibly the reason anyway. But this type of thing is going on everywhere.
It is, Tony, and I've been sounding the alarm about the war on farmers for well over a decade now, and people looked at me like I was crazy. What do you mean war on farmers? You know, farmers are doing fine. Look at all this food we're producing. I first started sensing something was wrong in South Africa. I used to live in South Africa, and I was hearing reports from my friends there, farmers, that the government was getting increasingly vocal with this, you know, kill the boer. Boer literally means farmer in Dutch, Afrikaans. Kill the farmer. Like, oh, what could go wrong with that, right? They're going in and they're slaughtering these almost exclusively Christian farmers. I mean, these are Christian people, Dutch Reformed primarily. And they would go in and they would slaughter the whole family, and they'd leave the family Bible on the dad's chest, you know, all cut up and bloody. Well, that's weird. Then I saw the same thing happening in Brazil. I spent years living in Brazil. I still going there later this year. I was there last year. I still have a lot of connections in Brazil. And I saw them wiping entire agricultural villages, literally whole villages being dismantled. Federal troops coming in wearing UN costumes and the ridiculous blue helmets, ordering these little villagers to dismantle their farms, dismantle their houses, load them on trucks, and go live under a bridge in the city. Well, that's weird. We got to give the land back to the Indians because we got a UN, they call it the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, UN DRIP. Well, that's weird. I actually talked to one of the Indian chiefs, the Zaventa chiefs, who was supposed to be getting all this land back. And he said, they're not doing that for us. That wasn't even our land. Right? He said, we were Indians of the Floresta. We were Indians from the jungle, not from the Cejado, the kind of grasslands where they were doing this agriculture. So even the Indian chief was like, no, that's not for us. They're just lying. Okay, South Africa, Brazil. Then you look at China. Hundreds of millions of people kicked off their land and herded into the cities as they were dismantling all these agricultural villages. Then you look at the Netherlands, you look at Canada, you look at the United States, and a very clear pattern emerges. There is a global war on the food supply, on agricultural producers, And I believe their intention is to try to starve us.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And you've got these things like the Strait of Hormuz being closed and various other waterways as well. So energy is, energy producing things are not being shipped out, and neither is fertilizer and things like that. So that affects the crop production. Obviously, you can't run a tractor without diesel. You can't plant and grow crops without some fertilizer and all of those type of things. So it's like a whole lot of things converging all at once, plus the war situation.
Yep. Yeah, they're engineering right now a polycrisis that will include a food crisis, an energy crisis, a currency crisis, an economic crisis, almost certainly a geopolitical crisis, whether that's the Middle East or Russia, China, or Russia, Ukraine, all merging into one. But they've been laying the groundwork on this for a long time, just like we saw in the run-up to the plan thing that we're not allowed to talk about. We saw them laying the policies and the groundwork long in advance. Well, we're seeing the same thing now. A few years ago, the UN Secretary General put out a report, Policy Brief Number 2 in Our Common Future. This was the agenda that they wanted to get incorporated into the Pact for the Future that was passed in 2024. And I encourage everybody to read this. It was only, if I remember correctly, like 28 pages. And what the Secretary General said, Antonio Guterres, an actual socialist, it says, hey, it's a complex world. We've got all kinds of things that could be global emergencies, but we don't have a global response to global emergencies. So going forward, we need to make me, the Secretary General, the decider of when there is a global emergency. Here's some things that could be global emergencies, although don't think of this list as exhaustive. There's plenty of other things that could be. Climate, environment, economy, war, something from outer space, they said. Black swan event. It might be a regional thing, you know, whatever. And he says, when the Secretary General declares that there is a global emergency, all actors, governments, businesses, civil society, churches, you name it, must recognize, he said, the primary decision-making role of multilateral agencies, of UN agencies. And so they laid the groundwork for this. They incorporated a lot of this into the Pact for the Future in 2024. People can read it. This was at the Summit for the Future. They told us they were doing this. Every government in the world agreed to this, at least by remaining silent. It was adopted by consensus. And so they've already put in the fake legal architecture to take these crises that they're preparing for us and weaponize them to fully activate the global control grid that they've been building out for so many years now. So, we've seen this pattern before. It's just basic pattern recognition, just like they did back in 2018, 2019, laying the groundwork for what came in 2020. They're doing it again, but this time at an international scale for something even bigger than a disease of some sort.
And these people were not even elected by anybody. Self-appointed, basically, and then I suppose they get a whole raft of puppet politicians all around the world that'll just go, yes, yes, as they walk into oblivion, you know, fulfilling these agendas. And the average people like us, we can try and say what we're doing now, but how much difference are we really making? It's questionable.
Well, whether we make a difference or not, you know, that's for God to decide. I always say we'll trust God with the outcome and the results. Mm-hmm. We just need to be faithful to what he's commanded us to do. He has commanded us to preach the good news. He has commanded us to make disciples of all nations. He has commanded us to preach the whole counsel of God, the full counsel of God on all issues. He has commanded us to disciple our children. He has commanded us as Christians to serve the poor, take care of the widows and the orphans. So we've got plenty to do. And, God knows what we're doing. And whether that changes the direction of things or not, you know, that's not for us to decide. That's all in God's hands. But we're just called to be obedient and faithful. In fact, part of the Great Commission is teach them to observe, teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. So, God's timing will be absolutely perfect. We know that it will. And, nothing that we do can change God's plan. Nothing that we do can change God's timing. That's all in his purview. But, he's given us our own little area to be salt and light, to be active, to be doing the things that he called on us to do, to be ambassadors for Christ. And so that's our job while we're here, is with God's help to try as faithfully as we can to do the things he's called us to do.
Yeah, so we may not be able to affect the macro picture of the whole globe and that very much, but we can affect our own lives and change and those around us. We can influence. So that's what we can do. Well, have you got anything else to add you may want to cover?
Well, I would just encourage everybody to be vigilant, to be watchful, to take a look at the signs of the times. They're all around you. They're pretty obvious. It's an extraordinary time that God put us here to live in. And there is so much work to be done, as the scripture teaches. You know, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So, you know, let's just volunteer. Hey, God, you know, we're here. What do you need us to do? You know, we'll be your laborers. Whatever it is that you want us doing, show us clearly through your word. Show us through the guidance of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and then help us to do those things that you've called us to do faithfully, diligently, not as unto men, but as unto the Lord. I always believe it starts in our own homes. You know, if you're a parent, it starts with your children. You know, we need to educate ourselves. We need to be in the Word. We need to be praying, and then we need to be discipling the next generation. I think homeschooling or a good solid Christian school is the way to go on that. Wonderful programs out there, like the one we use, is Classical Conversations, and I love what they say about the purpose of education is to know God and make Him known. Like, that's what we need to be about. We need husbands. You need to be discipling and working with your wife on these things. Wives, you need to be with your husband. We need to be on the same page here when it comes to the things of God and the Word of God. In our churches, we should be active, right? Our churches should be bright lights broadcasting the truth to the whole community so that they see us and say, wow, something's different about them. So that they see us and say, wow, I want that. What is it that they've got that's so different? Oh, Jesus, that's what we want too. So we've got more than enough tasks for every believer in the world to get engaged in, but be in prayer, be discipling your children, be informed. You know, I do think people need to get better informed, certainly biblically speaking, but also even just keeping track of what's going on in the world. So, you know, this program here is a wonderful, wonderful platform where you'll hear about current events from a biblical perspective. People who want to visit our website, it's libertysentinel.org, and I'm senior editor at The New American. We try to put out as much as we can on all these different issues, but ultimately it just comes down to being obedient to God, being obedient to His Word, and trying our best to do what He's called us to do while He's got us here.
And trying to not become discouraged, which I think a lot of people can, but when they look at the tsunami of things that are occurring, you know, all at once, literally tsunamis, earthquakes, you know, you can put all that in with it as well. It's just all the signs seem to be converging, but we need to be encouraged, not discouraged.
Absolutely. And folks, if you feel discouraged, I just want to encourage you, pick up your Bible, go to the very end, right? The very, very end. Just go to the last few pages, go read Revelation 19, 20, 21. You will walk away with, if you're in the Lord, if you're in Christ, you will walk away with a massive smile on your face. Some of it's scary. Yeah, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back as a conquering king, but we know how all of this ends. So there is nothing to fear. God's got it all under control. And don't be discouraged. Again, just go read the last few pages of your Bible. And if that doesn't encourage you, I don't know what will.
Yeah, we've got to keep our eyes on eternal focus, not on the things that are going on in front of us right now. So just once more before you go, tell the people where they find you, Alex.
Well, thank you so much. My website is libertysentinel.org. Sentinel is S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L. It's like a watchman. And then people can find us on social media. AlexNewman_J-O-U is where I'm at on X. And yeah, we've got a free newsletter. We'd love to put people on it if they're interested in staying up to date. I'll be going to a bunch of UN summits and some special things that I can't talk about just yet, but we're going to have some big breaking stories about the neo-pagan movement, its involvement with big tech. That'll be coming out in the next few weeks. So stay tuned for that, ladies and gentlemen. And Tony, thank you as always for what you do and for inviting me on your program. I'm really grateful, and God bless you, sir.
And I would definitely like to hear about that when you get that out and have you on the show to discuss that. So hopefully in a few more weeks' time. So cheers, Alex. It's been another great discussion, as always.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Bless you too. Folks, also make sure you subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com and also our YouTube channel and our Apple Podcast channel. And please like and share the video on whatever platform. That's always much appreciated. When people do that. And we do run A Minute to Midnight 100% by donations. If people are able to help through donating, that's always much appreciated as well. God bless, and God willing, we will be back with another show very soon.